Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, but Paul, before we get into this, I think we've got to keep Twitter open because it's just mental to say.
Yeah, I completely agree on this. I think there's about four things of interest have happened just since we sat down at the table.
You can't see this. I've got such a big smile on my face.
Yeah, so if you ever want to see the podcast visually, because that's what seeing is, because the redmentv.com, where the video version's on there. Have you got more Red Men podcasts? Loads and loads of them, five a week, because the redmentv.com and sign up. Anyway, so we normally have a kickoff question or whatever, but this one's normally you try to break the ice with something funny or lighthearted or whatever, but now I just want to battle into it because transfers is what it's all about at the moment. Transfer window closes this week. So we posed the question. Well, in fact, I didn't pose the question. I posed the opinion that I'd have Raheem Sterling back because he's being linked with a swap move for Alexis Sanchez, Man City, Arsenal. Then Ross put it out on the Red Men Twitter account. And we've had a few responses back. My responses have ranged from, Paul, you're on drugs, to just no. I've seen like Neil Atkinson said it, Steele's backed it up as well. I've seen a fair few people saying it. People I actually know seem to fall on the side of they'd have a look at Sterling again. You wouldn't?
No, not really. He's burnt his bridges for me in Liverpool Football Club. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad footballer. I don't think he's a bad footballer. I think he's a very, very good footballer. I thought when he left that his ceiling was going to be higher than I now do. Mm. And I think we've got better players than Raheem Sterling. He'd be a great backup option. But I think, you know, if we were to get someone like a Lamar in or somebody else further down the line, then there's just better players who are better finishers than Raheem Sterling.
Is Lamar better than Sterling, though?
I think so, yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I think Lamar's got to the semi-finals of the Champions League with a Monaco side and won the league, and I don't think Raheem Sterling's done that.
Okay. That's a good point. I just like Sterling. I think I've seen some people saying some interesting things on Twitter. So like Joel Blankston said, Harry Wilson will do a better job on the wings than Sterling has done his entire career. He's yet to improve, which is just, that's just not right.
Sterling's a great footballer. Like, he's a bottler when it comes to in front of goal for me. And what Liverpool need is a front three that all score goals if you're playing a false nine.
Yeah. Sterling scores goals, though.
Yeah, he doesn't score as many as I think Mane scored last season. I don't think Sterling scored as many as Mane last season.
No,
I don't think he's ever... I think I'm right in saying he might not have broken 10 in a season. So what you're looking for from Liverpool's front three, Paul, is you're looking for Firmino to be the guy who is the false nine.
Yeah.
And you need almost guaranteed goals from the other two. I think, you know, that's the way that our front three works right now. Uh-huh. So I think, you know, for me, I'd rather have Mo Salah and Sadio Mane, who I think will get more goals than Raheem Sterling will in a season.
Bear in mind, though, Sterling scored as many goals as both Salah and Mane have in the league.
Absolutely,
this season.
Absolutely this season, yeah. But he's not first choice for Manchester City, so he's doing really well. You know, he scored one really good goal, and he scored one absolute joke of a goal. But, you know, how many of those chances did he miss? Like, just like Salah did, mate, as well.
Yeah.
You're asking opinion. my opinion is that those two will score more goals than Raheem Sterling will score this season.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, I'm just getting it up briefly because I'm interested, because I think there was a perception that he was crap last year. Which I'm not sure how true that is, but I don't have the information to back it up, but I'll do it. What things we're going to be discussing this week on the podcast anyway, obviously transfer window madness will be the main focus, because it's been absolutely crazy the last couple of days. So obviously it's Tuesday when I'm recording this. Yesterday, there was loads of hints, like Sunday night, so we were linked with Thomas Lamar, and there was being loads of people going like, "Ooh, some exciting things could be happening for Liverpool." And then yesterday we bid apparently like 60 odd million quid for Thomas Lamar.
We bid twice for him, apparently 55 million and 64 million quid.
Yeah, and then we just signed Naby Keita.
Yeah,
at the blue. I imagine Graham Kelly sat back and put his feet up and rubbed his hands together.
He then just changed his profile pic to one of Virgil van Dijk. Having been proved right
so,
on that one.
So, Sterling got last season, blimey. So, he got 10 goals and 21 assists last season.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Which is interesting. As I say, I think the thing as well, he's still only 22. So
what was that in Premier League, just out of interest?
I think it was 7 and 11.
Still good.
Yeah.
Still good. I still think our forwards will do better than that.
Oh, exactly. But I think that's the thing about Raheem Sterling, because he's been around for so long, and of course there's so much depth of ill feeling towards him as well, I think skews it a little bit, because, and that, he hasn't become City's main man, which is the thing, I guess, isn't it? But yeah, God, when you consider it in a general sense, I just remember how good he was for us. And you're right, he wouldn't go in and be a first team player. Fucking who would? There's not many, is there, at this point, who are going to get in ahead of Mane and Salah? Mm. It's the amount of people actually you've met, because the Lamar stuff broke, and how many people saying, "Don't need him. We've got Mane and Salah." Well. Exactly.
We do need somebody for one of those spots.
Well, this is the point, isn't it? Is that I've said this to a few people, we had Mane on his own last season. When he got injured, how we played football completely had to change, because we had nothing remotely like him. So we've signed Salah, and that's, I don't know, my initial suspicion was, he's just going to go in rotation with Mane. Oh, no. We're playing both of them. So we're in exactly the same position, by and large. Not exactly the same position, because if you're going to lose one, you've still got one. But the point is, if you build your style of play around a certain, you know, about having two fast guys on the wings, having one fast guy is 50% of what you've had previously. And as we've seen already, it means Roberto Firmino plays on the left and Sturridge plays up front. And there's a massive world of difference between Mane, Firmino, Salah, and Firmino, Sturridge, Mane or Salah,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I've said this for so long now. We seem to be afraid of having a good squad and stuff like that. And, you know, we want players who can come in and just make sure that those guys are going to be fit for the entire season. Just resting players but not having a drop-off is what you want. Now, Raheem Sterling could absolutely do that for Liverpool. I just don't want to see him do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, in terms of Liverpool's backups and moving it on to the Lamar thing, it's the difference and the unknown, I think, as much as I think it's making everyone wet over this one, because it's us buying a player from Monaco, and that's dead cool, because that's the thing that's done at the moment. And he's young and he's exciting and he's another left footer, which is a good thing as well. And he scored an absolute thunderbolt that did the rounds on Twitter the other day. I was looking at it again today, and it was tremendous.
He's got that ability to beat a man from nothing, like Sadio Mane, like Mo Salah, like Raheem Sterling, if you want to talk of it like that as well. He's a tremendous footballer. It'd be interesting, actually, because I think that what you'd find if you were to get him in is that he would be very much a left-footed left-winger. I can't imagine that Klopp would... Well, maybe Klopp would want to if we were to get him in, invert him and stuff, but it just gives you that a little bit something different, but keeping the same pace and directness that you've got. Like, I mean, you know, our fourth goal against Arsenal came from Mo Salah being on the left-hand side and crossing the ball in with his left foot and Sturridge back posting it, wasn't it? So gives us the option of being able to do that. And he's also played centre-attacking midfielder as well, Lamar.
It's interesting because I disagree, because there's nothing to disagree with, because it's not a fact, is it? But if we had two left-footed guys, and then effectively keeping Coutinho, I wonder whether Coutinho's back in the conversation of being in the front three again.
He's never out of it for me.
Well, no, I know. But I mean, what I mean is, I, having even more so seen the way the midfield performed, Phil Coutinho makes less sense in how our midfield's been playing so far this season, because I don't want Phil Coutinho anchoring the midfield, basically, you know what I mean? Whereas I wouldn't necessarily want Adam Lallana anchoring the midfield, but I feel like he would be better at it than Coutinho, because I just think he's more robust, isn't he, naturally? Although the fact that he's injured at the moment doesn't really play into that, and he's had loads of injuries. But all of a sudden, we talked about squad depth, and we talk about the ability to rotate. Well, then Coutinho and Mane go in rotation as your right footed on the left, and Lamar and Salah go in rotation fucking as your left footed on the right.
Fucking
and now everyone's wet.
It's ridiculous. This is the thing, though, but it's kind of come from nowhere as well. And I don't think it can be underestimated how big Liverpool getting into the proper Champions League is, because everything's come off the back of that. The fact that Naby Keita's now agreed to sign for us, I think that was probably the one deal that wouldn't have been affected by the Champions League football, but maybe it was. The fact that we're being linked with Virgil van Dijk and Lamar again before the transfer deadline, I think that is down to Champions League football and actually getting it, because everybody knew how tough a draw Hoffenheim was, and maybe players were looking around going, let's have a little wait and see.
Well, let's skip in. We've got some questions later on, but I've got one that's relevant to what you were saying there, so let's do it now. At MDDZN on Twitter says, why do you think we've left it late on in the transfer window to start signing players? Now, we had a few people, we kind of talked about this, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and it was this, do you think we're waiting for the Champions League thing to move on players and what have you? And it seemed like a nice story, and it seemed like a nice logical fit, but it does look like, now that's all secured, maybe it's just released a new level of funds, maybe I could create a story, Chris, where they've gone to Jürgen. Here's your budget if you're in the Europa League, and here's your budget if you're in the Champions League. Now you can double that. You can get your transfers done with that budget now, or you can qualify for the Champions League and wait. And he's gone, no, we're going to qualify for the Champions League, so I'll just wait and get that done. I like that as a story. Why not? Let's
run with it. Yeah. Why not? And then what happens is, because we get a really weak Champions League group by what we could have got, do the players around go, actually, we can get pretty far in the Champions League if we move to Liverpool? Does that have a little effect on it and stuff? I don't know whether it works like that, Paul. I don't give a shit, to be quite honest. I just want Liverpool to sign some really good players.
Yeah.
I spoke on the final word show yesterday that I thought it was a perfect time for an international break. And now it's even looking better. It's looking much better. Naby Keita coming in. We've got a couple of days left of the transfer window. Arsenal are in absolute tatters. We've destroyed Arsenal.
Well, it's
and
just,
now Indy Kayla's destroying them
exactly.
on Twitter.
This is the stuff we were. This is the stuff we were listening to at the top of the show. Is that the Indy Kayla in the space of 5 minutes before us going on? There was all the talk about Alexis Sanchez to Man City. Then there was one about him wanting to leave the Chile training camp for personal business.
Brilliant.
And then it was Arsenal talking to Dortmund, and the subject is Mesut Ozil.
There was 2 minutes in between those two tweets.
It's just genuinely.
They were still reeling. They were just getting back up off the floor. They were on the eight count, and then the Mesut Ozil news strikes.
It's like getting up off the pulling yourself up off the canvas, and your opponent is necking your misses. When you get up, it's like, oh no, that's all. Yeah, oh my god. And then you look over to the side, and your kids are cheering for your fucking opponent. It's bad days for Arsenal at the moment.
Brilliant,
really
isn't
is.
It,
I did a bit of this on Social Club this week on Ball Street, and I don't feel sorry for Arsenal Football Club. I don't feel sorry for the players. I don't particularly feel sorry for the manager or any of that stuff. I do feel a bit sorry for the fans, but I can't help it. It's probably just a reaction to the fact that we've had a really stressful summer with regards to transfers, made more stressful by our fans as much as anything else, and obviously a little bit of how we've had, more than a little bit of how Liverpool have handled stuff. But so I am taking a little bit of satisfaction. I mean, here's the thing though, Chris.
Yeah.
We haven't yet signed anyone else, really. Naby Keita's best off for next summer. No, but it's I'm not that. I mean, here's the thing. I'm fine. I'm buzzing. And the fact that we're playing good footy at the moment and winning games helps big time. But there is very much, I can get why people, there's still a few naysayers. There's bound to be a few doubters, because ultimately, you mentioned to me, the FSG out thing has gone dead quiet in the last 2 days. But it still lingers, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and you know, not just for FSG outers and stuff. I've still got my concerns over it. Like, you know, I we've said a few weeks ago now that, you know, I wanted to judge FSG on the end of this transfer window and after the transfer window's been done and stuff. Now, ultimately, right now, they still haven't signed anyone who can improve the team between last week's podcast and this week's podcast this season. Mm-hmm. Naby Keita is for next year. I think it's an amazing signing. Yeah. I think, you know, I was all in on Naby Keita from the start. He's just got better and better as the summer went on, and now the football started. You're starting seeing highlight clips of him again, and you're like, wow, this kid's fucking something else.
Well, I think he completed more take-ons than any other central midfielder in all of Europe, and apparently it was something like 11 more than Paul Pogba.
Yeah, he's better than Paul Pogba.
He's better than Paul Pogba,
and Liverpool have signed him for a small premium.
Basically half the price.
A small premium.
Well, have you seen the premium thing? Because when I saw the premium thing, I thought it was probably going to be, because we were like bidding 70 million for him. I thought it was going to be that. It was going to be, we end up paying the same price. But by all accounts, the premium's like 3 million quid.
I've heard three different things. The stuff when it first broke yesterday when you went live was 68 million was the thing, wasn't it? And I've heard two journalists, one is 3 million and one is 7 million. The one who said the 7 million is 3 million plus almost on add-ons based on what RB Leipzig do this season. So, for example, I think it's like maybe a base 3 million, and then if RB Leipzig win the Champions League, you get more money. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. I think 7 million is the top, mm-hmm. and 3 million is out. Either way, it doesn't fucking matter. It's a great deal because, you know, you don't know what the market's going to be like. And look, the market could crash and it could be well over, but it's not likely to crash. It's likely to keep on going up and up and up and up and up. And, you know, we've paid, all right, admittedly, it's just the release clause plus 3 million quid. But essentially, RB Leipzig have spent almost 20 million quid for a season-long loan of a player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tells you how good he is.
Yeah, that's true. That's, yeah,
because they've turned down 20 million quid more than what we're offering right now to keep him for 1 year.
Yeah,
he's their player, of course he is, but essentially it's just a now season long loan that they've paid 20 million quid for. He must be fucking boss.
You
don't pay 20 million for a loan deal.
No,
for 1 year.
It's true.
Unless he's boss.
So I asked the question,
Forsberg next year, by the way.
Sure. I asked the question on Twitter because I it was late and I realised the stupidity. But I don't know if you saw the tweet, so you might have the answer. But when was the last time Liverpool did something like this?
Did see the tweet. I think I don't know when the last time was.
Think of, because I was like, is it Letalech, Pongol? I remember Barros being one that was done in the future. It's not exactly the same, but the answer's Divock.
I suppose so.
I'm racking my brain. I can't think. Is this the longest spell between Liverpool agreeing to buy a player and Ben play for Liverpool? And someone was like, Divock Origi. And I was like, oh my God, that was like 2 years ago. Of course, it's Divock Origi. Fucking hell.
But what happened with Grealish? Was something similar?
Similar, but that was like the January we signed him, wasn't it? We loaned him back for the rest of the season. So he come in, whereas we signed Origi after the World Cup.
Actually, I think one of the players that we've done this with still isn't with us. Oh, yeah. Alejandro Rodriguez.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's still our player, but he's never played a fucking thing. Yeah. And that's been going on now. He's still looking for a club now. He's still not got the work permits. He's still not got a loan offer. Like,
that's amazing, isn't
so
it?
So actually,
imagine if that happens there, and he's amazing. Yeah. Just comes in. You know, that's got all the hallmarks of like, it could. Big one. He makes his debut for Liverpool in 2 years' time, and it's like against Man United, and he scores the fucking winner. And I was like, "Who is this kid?" And
it's like, for like years. Like,
he's
years.
Just very, very Brazilian. Very Brazilian. He's not Nike Brazilian, which means part Italian, for commercial purposes and nothing else. So we've got a few different examples of this, but yeah, it's an amazing set of circumstances.
Hang on. We've got DJ Selector Skills, who obviously listens to the,
good friend, listens to the
podcast and comes on the show. Very vocal on FSG out, has now just tweeted, "This happens, I'm going drinking and I'll tweet the owners, this is sex and this is a squad." And he's put a team out with Mignolet, Arnold, Matip, Van Dijk, Robertson, Keita, Coutinho, Lamar, Salah, Firmino, Mane. That could be our starting lineup next season, couldn't it? We've got a little bit of work to do. Like, that's cool. Like, big respect to him, because all he said all along is that he wants Liverpool to and Liverpool's owners to show ambition.
Yeah,
And that is, you know what, fair, you know, I disagree a lot with the FSG out brigade, or it feels bad calling them a brigade. I'm sure they don't have meetings and set little
bands. They absolutely don't have meetings.
And, you know, marching bands and stuff. They probably do have the marching bands.
They have the occasional playing banner and a hashtag, Chris.
So, well, okay, that would be, let's just call them the FSG outers.
Gang of... Insert word here.
So, but you know what? It takes a lot when you've said one thing for so long to then stand up and go, actually, you know what? They're showing me the fucking. They're showing me what I wanted, yeah. And I'm happy to fucking.
That does take bollocks. Now, I've always said the same. We are very much the same. I live to be proved wrong. I don't like, you know, I don't like being wrong of things that what it means when something is loads worse than I think it is, because it just means things are loads worse. Why would that be a good thing? But the thing is, and again, it's not, nothing is conclusive on it, but it's why it's the lack of patience. And look, as I say, it's still not done, because getting Keita's done is a good bit of business. Salah's proved to be a great bit of business, and I think Robertson and Solanke will prove to be very solid pieces of business as well. We just do need to get one or two. We need to get one big expensive signing in.
Let's just go and break the transfer record for the centre back, Paul, and we'll be laughing.
Exactly that, or whatever. It's not, you know, we smash our transfer record. We've broken our transfer record twice already this summer. I think I predicted two or three times. I thought we were going to.
I think we all said three times, but we weren't sure on the order, weren't we? Yeah.
And as it turns out, it actually looks like we're going to do it in proper order. But I get it, because look, right here, right now, we're recording on Tuesday. The transfer window shuts on Thursday night. If no one else comes in, then I think some of the doubts will still remain, because the one spectre that's still hanging over this in terms of the ambition, in terms of transfer spend and recruitment and all that kind of stuff, is the remaining argument that I can see is they've just deliberately tried to bid for players who they knew they couldn't get, which I'm so sorry, because I get criticised occasionally for being condescending or arrogant, and I'm occasionally condescending, that's fine. But I don't...
Well, you are also arrogant.
But I'm just supremely confident. But the thing is, you don't do that. You don't just fucking bid on a fucking... You don't bid on a fucking... that you're not going to get, that you know you're not going to get. Go on, Chris, tell the eBay story.
I do that. I thought everybody did that on eBay.
So right, just to clarify, right, we're about to lift the curtain back and reveal what a horrible human being Chris Pajak is.
Don't outbid me on eBay is the moral of the story.
And why should people not outbid you on eBay?
Because I just drive the price up. I do it all the time. I have a price in my head of what I want to go to, and if you beat me, I'll just go click, click, one more. So I added like 50 quid onto an intensity shuttle for some guy the other day because I wanted that, and he outbid me. I ended up with a really cool bike, spending 80 quid more than I wanted, cause just to drive the price up on that a couple of years ago. It was still a bargain at 330. It was an £800 bike, but you know, I couldn't afford it. So there are people out there that do this, Paul, so is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I want to know, actually, because Chris said this, like, everyone does that on eBay, right? And I me and Tom were looking at him going, what? So, yeah, just to clarify, when Chris loses a bid or goes beyond, a price goes beyond his limit on eBay, he deliberately makes it more expensive for the person who's beating him.
I didn't know that was a bad thing. I genuinely thought that that's fine and that's what everybody does.
Ask your mum.
No.
Speak to your mum about this and see what she says. Speak to your mum. If your mum thinks it's fine, then maybe I need to sit down with your mum and have a chat with her as well.
I don't think my mum would think it's fine. I think my dad would be okay with it. I'll maybe speak to my dad. It's one of them where you've got to pick a parent, and I'm picking my dad on this one, Paul.
But here's the thing. All joking aside, and I say it's not funny. That's not funny.
Funny to me.
That's a really cruel thing to do to people.
Oh, screw him.
Okay. But the... Here's the thing, to bring it back.
If you see Pajak 2000, and I won't give you the year, bidding on something, you need to watch out.
Here's the thing. That is different to what we're talking about. It's funnier, but it's different because you could have got that. There was a, you know, someone else has ended up getting it. getting that thing. So it's not the same, because the argument is that Liverpool are bidding on players that are not for sale. That's the same as that. That's like finding someone else who owns an intensity shuttle or that bike, and in the street, or emailing them out of the blue and saying, "Can I have it for this amount of money?" And they go, "You fucking weirdo, go away." You know, the fact that it's on eBay means it's defo for sale is the point. And so, it might be one of the. It's the biggest revelation of. So what are we up to now? 17 years of friendship. That was the biggest revelation I've had about your character.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't know I was a sociopath before today.
That's amazing. So the point, and I said that the one remaining spectre, I think, that looms over the question marks. There'll still be question marks. There always will, because there's still elements of the club where Liverpool are doing silly things, you know, in terms of like gouging in different areas, and there's still tickets, and there's still all these other issues that are not perfect at Liverpool. But then I think that's true of all football clubs. But that is the one remaining thing, and it baffles me that people think like this. They might be right, they might be, but I would choose to think that it's conspiracy theory bollocks, that Liverpool are trying to bid on players that they know they can't get for PR purposes.
I don't think Liverpool give a shit about what the fans think.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I just don't.
For better or for worse?
For worse, probably.
Yeah.
I just don't think they go about the business and consider what will the fans think as we're moving through this. I just don't think it matters to them. I think what they're bothered about is making Liverpool successful, and that might be winning trophies, or it might be making them a better business and making more money. Ultimately, their focus is on making Liverpool more successful. Going in for players that aren't for sale doesn't achieve any of those motives.
Yeah.
It doesn't make us more profitable.
No.
So why would they do that?
Yeah.
It doesn't make us win trophies, so why would they do that? What reason could you give me that they think, other than PR, that would be a good thing to do?
If they are pure business driven, as we know they are, and here's the difference, it's a conversation, it's a notion that you brought into my head when we started running this as a you know, the business side of production. Why would a purely business driven entity that only exists to make money and to cut costs and do that, why would they waste the man hours on something that was never going to yield results? You wouldn't spend the money on the people required to put in fake bids, because you're basically setting fire to money by doing that effectively. Even if it was like hundreds of quid, which it would maybe many thousands of quid to fucking make this a thing. It doesn't scam with me that. And that's the thing about this, is that I did the regarding FSG out video on my YouTube channel a while ago now, a few weeks anyway. And I can understand all the things that have led, there's loads of mistakes that have happened that have led up to where we are today, which I don't think can be totally written off or ignored regardless. But I think the problem is, I'll give you an example. I was thinking about this yesterday. It's a slight tangent, but you know I'm good for it, Chris. Is, let's use video production as an example. Let's compare it to Liverpool's transfer market this season. So I told my wife that I'd be finished at 6 o'clock yesterday. And I had every intention. I had a podcast to record with Stehausen, which is dead good, by the way. And I was going to leave as soon as that was finished, and I'd be done and home. And this happened, but this is the thing that happens in video production all the time. What happens 15 minutes into it, the camera...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Crashes and all the footage is lost. So you start again. And then ultimately, it's 6:30 when I'm finished. And I've got to explain why when I... But the thing is, that's not just me doing it once. That happens to me all the time. Mm. Now, if you didn't have an understanding of the inner workings of how my job works, you'd think I was taking the piss and sat in work with my feet up, fucking going, I can't be asked going home, so I'm gonna sit in here. And I think that's kind of what happens to Liverpool this summer, is that if you've got an understanding of... if you believe in what they're doing and you believe that they're telling the truth, then... They've gone in for Virgil van Dijk and that's been fucked up by for whatever reason. And they've gone in with the genuine belief that they could get Naby Keita earlier on. And they were prepared to spend £140 million on these two players, say, for the here and now. But circumstances against the norm, against their control, against their belief have conspired against them. But instead of people going, oh, well, look, they've legitimately made an effort to get that, that's not their fault. It's being lumped in with all the other stuff that's happened in the past, and people are going, well, it's them fucking things up. Whereas I believe, and I choose to believe because it's just the nature of my character and it's the nature of the evidence that I see presented to myself, that Liverpool haven't shown a lack of ambition this summer. Liverpool have shown an absolute shit ton of ambition, but circumstances, more than ever this summer, have kind of conspired against them to some extent, because in a normal window, the bids that we've put in on players probably just get those players, and there's not a concern, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And listen, I think, you know, the fact that Jurgen Klopp is very open with he wants his top targets, you know, he doesn't want to move on to other targets, it's probably why it's the first time we've ever seen anything happen like the Keita deal. Like, listen, you mentioned about the Origi stuff and there's Pongol and Letalic and stuff like that. Nothing's happened like this before at Liverpool. Mm. We've not chased the guy for 3 months and been told no and gone, well, we're going to get him next year.
Yeah.
This is the first time that that's ever happened, because Jurgen Klopp wants that man.
Yeah.
And FSG are backing him. And they're not just backing, they've given him a 6-year contract or whatever, but they're actually now backing him in the transfer market to say that, shit, let's think about this 1 second, right? Naby Keita, we're going to spend, let's say, minimum £51 million on him. He's got a year of football, and yet we've put our eggs in that basket because Jurgen wants us to put those eggs in that basket. That's a fuckload of trust from FSG to give the manager. And it's a fuckload of trust in Naby Keita being a good footballer in a year time and not having a completely terrible season and all that type of stuff. That's more trust that Liverpool have ever placed in a manager.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, this is it. That's not them saying, because you see it a lot, they get windy about backing managers, most football clubs, because anything could happen. They're going, no, this is going in the right direction. He's going to be here next year because he's got a contract. We believe he's going to see his contract out. We want him to be here for the length of his contract. So who cares? And that's the beauty of where we are. For me, this is the first time Liverpool have shown elite club mentality in as long as I can remember. This is the kind of thing that Barcelona do, and this is the kind of thing that Real Madrid do. In fact, they only have like gentlemen's agreements, don't they, in these kind of situations. We've just gone and gone, there's the fucking dough, get it sorted. And that's, you know, we want that player so much, and although Leipzig have done a good job of protecting their reputation and brand to the best of their abilities here, we've still shown there's a hierarchy there. Mm. We've, even though they've tried to kind of make it look like they're on the same level as us or whatever, effectively we've still ended up looking like the bigger,
absolutely,
more powerful.
Absolutely, we are. Ultimately, exactly. That's what it comes down to. And now players will be looking at this going, bloody hell, and they'll be keeping their eye on Naby Keita, and Liverpool fans will be keeping their eye on Naby Keita, and he's tearing up the Bundesliga already this season. And looking going, and he's signing for Liverpool next season. They've just signed Lamar and Van Dijk there at the end of that transfer window. Look what they've done there. It's amazing, Paul. It's a massive show of ambition, massive show of trust from FSG, and a massive, massive show of strength as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think think it just remains that, and it shouldn't count on all this. But I think we're still another person or maybe too shy in terms of squad depth if we're able to do that. And I just don't like the.
Hang on, Monaco have agreed a deal for Keita, Balde, Diaw, which now means that basically Lamar's on, Paul. Sure. Lamar's on.
Go ahead, absolutely. But that's the thing. I think just getting something like that done. I still remain skeptical about the whole let's spend big money on stuff or whatever. But if we're gonna do it, let's do it and let's embrace it. But it would, if Liverpool just go out and do something like that, that would just be massive for me. Because again, that's what it is that we need to just shut up and get on with this stuff. You just only got to look at Arsenal, and you only got to look how they're being treated and the way that football club's direction, that football club's going. And that's why I think we lack a bit of context sometimes, because we're so buried in Liverpool, or people find context to suit narratives. And I that's why I've never been able to fully buy into it. Even though I've looked at it and I've been more considerate of others' opinions, I think, on this, I've delved a bit more into it this summer than I would have done in previous years, just because I've seen a lot of people asking me about it, a lot of people talking about it, a lot of people accusing me of things that aren't true about it. That I've made a conscious effort, but I just can't wholesale buy into it, because, and maybe it's just because I like to take people at face value. I like to be a believer. I just think Liverpool are just set up really fine and really nicely at the moment, and it's just that thing of I see a bit more of the bigger picture, and I don't know, and none of us will know what FSG's long term plans are. Whether they 10 years they'll still be the owners of Liverpool, and whether we will have had sufficient consistent ambition to become a top club in that time, no one can know that. It's not possible to know. But I still look at Anfield, and I'm delighted that we're at Anfield. I look at the main stand, and I think it's an absolute fucking marvel of an achievement. I look at the regeneration of the area around the stadium, and people can say these are not important things. These are massively important things. Not making Liverpool a fucking destination again, and making us feel like an elite football club. I felt like that when I walked in against Leicester last season for the first time, seeing that main stand packed full of people, 53,000 people at Anfield for the first time or whatever, and I went, fuck me. Yeah, we've taken a massive step forward here. And so I just feel like everything's going right. And it's not perfect. Not everything's going right. There's loads of little niggles and there's things that are getting wrong and blah, blah, blah. Because inevitably, massive businesses fuck things up on a daily basis, because they do, because they're massive. But the football's good. The management's good. The players are good. We've got a great crop of young players. We've got the fucking stadiums as best it's ever looked. The area is the best. It's
just see some trophies now, Paul.
Exactly, but I feel like I don't feel like we're miles away from that. I don't feel like, again, like look at Arsenal and the Emirates. They've got that infrastructure there. They've got all that, and yet the footballs, they've got it wrong on the pitch. They've got it wrong in recruitment. They've got it wrong at a management level. They've got it completely wrong at an ownership level. The structure of power in that football club is completely wrong as well. And there's a football club that we've been on the coattails of for 5 years. So I'm upbeat about it, nevertheless. And I think everyone else should be. But if they choose not to be, then that's their cross to bear. Fuck them. So let's move on. You messaged me about this last night. This idea for your.
I just think the
theory for the transfer.
I think the transfer window should be 3 days and 3 nights, so 72 hours long, essentially.
Okay.
And I want to make it work so that we can present it to the FA, Paul.
Okay.
So my point kind of has obviously come to fruition from the fact that it's just been a bit mental over the last 24 mm-hmm. hours. Like,
I'm brilliant as a result.
I'm brilliant and mental. I love mental stuff anyway, so it kind of goes hand in hand with me. But I just think that we could make this work, because the transfer window is dog shit until the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why not just make everybody sit down in one fucking ginormous room with stands like the food festival. Make it Sefton Park if you want.
Okay.
If you can guarantee a nice sunny day or something like that. Or, but, you know, maybe don't. Maybe don't guarantee it's a sunny day. Maybe let it rain and watch directors of football running from one tent to another to try and get over to Real Madrid and stuff. So I've got a few little rules and regs that I want to throw in first and foremost. One was provided to me on Twitter. Apologies, I haven't got the tweet up, so I don't know your name and stuff. But they said that, you know, to make this work, buyout clauses need to be compulsory.
Yeah, I've got.
I think that's cool.
Let me see if I can find it. I've got your tweet up here. Yeah, I agree. I think I don't want this to happen in any way, shape, or form. But let's roll with it while we can. And I think that the speed dating equivalent of a transfer market, I think, is a phenomenal idea. There should be a whistle or a gong. Maybe get the guy from the referee from Gladiators.
Yeah, okay.
Ready.
Yeah.
On my first whistle, yeah. Agents, ready. And then, yeah.
Well, I kind of saw it as a bit more like when the
gladiatorial combat.
No, when the market opens in like London or New York or something like that.
The stock exchange,
and then the clock strikes, and everyone just goes. It's just a whirl and
a bit like Black Friday and Tesco's.
Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, exactly. That type of a mad thing.
This is people running out with like Raheem Sterling over the shoulder, kicking children in the face. Like, yeah, absolutely.
So what I think one of the rules that you've got to put through is, and I started out with cash only, right?
Cash only business.
So,
okay.
So you've got to have that money to be able to go over and buy the player. So there's no back, well, I'm going to do a deal with you and then I'm going to go deal and that deal falls through and this deal falls through. It's cash only or you've got 45 minutes to show funds. So essentially now you can do your back behind the scenes deals, but you've got to get that money over to the other guy in 45 fucking minutes.
I like the idea of like maybe you've got three briefcases, like a deal or no deal kind of situation, okay. And like one's got 50 million in, one's got 20 million in, and one's got 50p. And you go to your 15 million target, and you go to the club, and you go, "Le Swansea, listen, which case would you like?
50.
Take your pick, and they might pick the 50p, and you're like, fucking good in. Yeah, so there's a story. A friend of mine used to work as a secretary for Rotherham United, and on the transfer deadline day, she was just fucking mental, like faxing stuff and running around, and the fax not being on site and all that. I like the idea.
No faxes.
No faxes, no need for them. But I like the idea that every club's got can have one designated runner. And that you maybe have them limbering up, you know, ready to go, and they get a call, they get a buzz. Like, you know, like when you're waiting for a table and Frankie and Benny's, yeah, and you've got a little thing that buzzes in your pocket. Buzz, I'm on. And then they've got to run and they get their instructions. Again, maybe a bit challenge Annika with a headset.
Yeah, I like that.
And they're being told, right, get a table Monaco. Which way is it? Which way am I going? Take a left. Yeah. And then they get there and they've got to pick, oh, Chris, this is just getting better and better by
so
the second.
So we need live coverage of this event, of obviously. I mean,
I want like a helicopter cam over the top of the whole, or a blimp, the Goodyear blimp over the top to get the full.
Should we place it in a maze? And so a massive, massive maze, and have stalls down different things. And so they're running out of time, and they're like, "It's right here." And they turn right, and it's just bushes, and they don't know where to go.
I just love it. And you've just got what was the name of that? What was the name of that centre forward who was driving around the car park back in the day in the episode? Oh, Peter Odemwingie.
Yeah,
he's just lost in the maze. He's just lost in the maze. Can you? I've been here for years. Can you help me get out? He's trying to climb. He's got no fingernails left. He's trying to dig a hole through the wall to get himself free. There was an old WCW pay per view, I think, or maybe it was just a fight on a Nitro episode, and it was in a junkyard, and it was like the worst thing they ever did. But it was literally in a junkyard, and they created a circle of old cars, and there were fire bins and all that kind of stuff, and it was just they had a helicopter going overhead with searchlights, and I like a free for all nature of all this. The more disciplined and organised it is, I think the less interesting it's going to be, Chris.
What about that if we made every club had to put a compulsory a guy in there by order, one first teamer for like some kind of a Royal Rumble? So 20 teams from the Premier League each put one player in. You have to do that every year. You have to put in, you have to be a first teamer. Like, okay. So you might.
What happens with what?
They have to have a minimum of 10 games. Starts during the Premier League season, so that, you know, like Liverpool might have walked the league, for example, and then be like, "Shit, we really need to get rid of somebody. We're gonna put Simon Mignolet in goal for the last 10 games of the season,
okay.
Such that he can be classed as a first teamer, okay. And he can be put into that free for all.
What's the outcome of the free for all?
People die.
Right. Okay. This is again when you said no to the gladiatorial combat.
I think, and I've not fully formulated this. The winner picks his club. Winner picks his club.
Okay, sad. Okay,
and second picks his club. 20th obviously only has one person to go to.
What about like pink slip style competitions, okay, a la Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Okay.
So you pit players against players, and then for their pink slip, for their contracts, effectively.
So Sterling v Sanchez.
So you put your most skillful player into this competition, and everyone he beats, you win that player.
I like that better. I mean, there's less death, but yeah.
There's far less. There's almost 100% less death. Not necessarily 100% less chance of death, but 100% likely less death.
And that's just a little something. If there's an hour or two where it's dipping, well, you can just go to that.
This solves all of Barcelona's problems straight off, because you just put Messi up against into that competition. That's how they fix the Neymar holes, is that you and your pink slip challenges, you just put Messi in there, aren't you? But then again, he comes up against Cristiano Ronaldo, and it's fucking on, Chris.
Ronaldo beats him and Messi goes to Real Madrid. Mate, we've solved the transfer window.
Is that not, I mean, and you've just got fucking Jim White and Natalie Sawyer just fucking Sawyer. Bashing each other out.
Sawyer's got a cock now.
Well, no, she's got a hand. You can still bash one out if you haven't got a cock.
You definitely did the actions for a proper wank, and you were saying her name at the time.
She's maybe got a very long. It's fine. I've been really rude to her on a few videos lately. It's not. I'm sure she's a lovely woman. But no, this is the thing. So we've now invented a world where it's just. Let's be honest, Chris. Deadline Day was getting boring, and we tried our best to make Deadline Day more interesting with some of our shows. We had people in wrestler masks running through car parks and what have you. And I think there needs to be, but I think I just genuinely think we were onto something. I just think football needs to embrace this. They need to make the football transfer window loads more interesting, loads more exciting. Because even though none of these features have come in, the last 24 hours, and I would suspect the last 72 hours of this transfer window will be the most exciting 72 hours of any transfer window ever. And that's without pink slip, Royal Rumbles, shark pits,
mazes.
The mazes, helicopter cams and all that. So Sky, if you're listening, and I know that you are.
I don't think they do the transfer window. I think it's the FA we need to.
No, but they do it. They do the pomp and circumstance around it. They have more power. Don't delude yourself, Chris. Okay. Sky, the real masters of the transfer window. But here's the thing, though. Think about next season.
The conspiracy theories.
Exactly. Think about next season. If they do, because it's being discussed in September, isn't it? Apparently, the next AGM or whatever the fuck it is for the league, about moving the transfer window deadline before to the week before the season starts. How good? I just think that will be fucking brilliant, because it's not going to have the gladiatorial style rumbles that ours would have, but that's when it should be done. That's when it should be. Summer is about that. If you can just make that a bit more exciting, and then it finishes, and then we can get on with the footy. Brilliant. That last week of the summer is going to, before the season starts, when things are at its most hyped anyway, you're ramping up that hype. I am all in.
Yeah, I must admit, I can see it both ways, to be honest. I think, generally speaking, I would want it over before the summer, but you can have good years and you can have bad years, you know what I mean? And for example, now, I don't know, Adam Lallana gets injured the first game of the season, he's out for 6 months and you can't do nothing about it. Mm-hmm.
But equally, he gets injured a month into the season.
I know, but it's something, I don't know, it's just, I do want it, I would rather it be played out like that. I think you're right, summer is for that type of stuff, but equally it does make it a little bit exciting.
I think your head's been turned by the last 24 hours.
Maybe it has, and that's fine. I think I've always said I'd rather it be before the summer and stuff, but yeah, does it take something away sometimes? It might do. It might take some excitement away. We wouldn't have videos like Arsenal Fan TV's 4 days to save our season, 3 games into the season, if the transfer window was shut, would we?
Yeah.
I suppose that video would be, our season's over, it's 3 games in.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, we'll see. At the minute, I'm enjoying the non-stop action thrill ride that is Liverpool just buying players. Let's just have that. I don't think ultimately
one player was so confident.
I know, yeah, so confident. Absolutely. So a few questions then before we wrap up. Stephen_Drury. Shall I streak when we sign Virgil van Dijk?
Yes,
I agree. Please do, and
film it.
But if you have to film it from the front. Behind, Really?
Yeah. We'll
okay.
do it.
Go ahead. If you're going to do it, do it. Michael Edwards FC, brilliant, who's actually at Adam LFC 88. Is Naby Keita the Coutinho replacement for next summer?
No, Naby Keita is the replacement for what we wanted this summer, which was Naby Keita.
Okay. We've said this before, haven't we, though, that I've seen a few people saying this, like, all he's done is he's just replacing Emre Can next year, or he's just replacing Phil Coutinho next year. And maybe, because what I'd said about the Coutinho stuff is, there's no point in... Coutinho will probably go next summer.
Yeah.
Probably, and that's fine. You don't want to be having £120 million drop in and then having to spend it in the same window. So it makes sense that we go and do this. Now, that's why, for me, like, the Lamar thing makes sense now. I think maybe that move, if I'm honest, because I think we would maybe I don't think we'd have moved for Lamar. I think we'd have kept whether it's Harry Wilson or it's Ojo or it's Ryan Kent. But I just think there's probably only so many players you can legitimately give game time to, and we've gone, let's just go and get Lamar now, bed him in for a year, and then Coutinho can go. Because we said this last year with the Pulisic thing, we knew Coutinho, the writing was on the wall, because Coutinho was boss. And he's not Scouse, so inevitably he's going to move on. So I hope that we are buying Coutinho's replacement this summer rather than next summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really interesting point about maybe bringing Lamar forward a year. I'd not considered that, to be honest. I think that's a good shout point.
Okay. And finally, Connor, who's Robinson 16, Chinese or pizza takeaway?
Depends what you're doing that evening, I suppose. Like,
do tell.
I've not really thought this one through.
It's just, Chris, where has that stopped you before?
Just like, if you want to, like, maybe watch a film or something, it's much easier to eat a pizza and watch a film, isn't it? You know what I mean. Whereas if you're sitting down at a table, then a Chinese or whatever's easy. Sorry to disappoint you, all. Like, I can tell you what to have.
Go on, what are you having for your Chinese?
I'm having Singapore vermicelli noodles from the Chung Koo. I'm having beef satay with fried rice from Taste Good. It's not too far out my way. It's about 3 miles, unfortunately. But the meals are fantastic from the Taste Good. And if I want, like, some dim sum and stuff, I'm getting them from the Chung Koo as well. So I have to time it, because Taste Good takes about 20 minutes. So I have to go there, and then while I'm waiting for Taste Good to finish off my meals, I then order in my dim sum and my Singapore vermicelli noodles from Chung Koo. So then I go to the Chung Koo, and then I'm just 5 minutes away from ours. Like,
fantastic.
Sounds. You can't just... Listen, you got to go where the food's right.
What's
your
takeaway pizza of choice?
Oh, well, we had first of all, Pizza Hut. Not a Domino's fan.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a Pizza Hut delivery kind of a guy.
Like, gives me the shit, like.
Yeah, it's fine for me. Like, I say that, but I've had the shit this week, and I had pizza last week.
And last time we went to Pizza Hut, we had the shit afterwards. Like, yeah.
I like the cheesy bites first of all, so that's only a large pizza.
Not Papa John's.
No, I went off Papa John's years ago. I used to like. Remember
cheese
what?
Sticks.
No, was it Perfect Pizza that was where Papa John's was on Allerton Road, or Pizza Perfect? I can't remember. Before it was Papa John's, they did a good hoisin and duck pizza back in the day. Like, I think it was £8.99 for a large, but you had to go and pick it up. Me and Steve Pat used to do that regularly. Yeah, good days. I don't know. I like pepperoni. American Hot is my favourite pizza, I suppose.
If I'm going, it's Domino's, I'm going to do it. And I think it's called Meteor. It's one of the meaty ones, and it's like barbecue base, meatballs, spicy beef, spicy chicken, blah, blah, blah.
Decent.
Sorted.
Decent.
Other than that, it's not really... it's more chippy Chinese, if anything else.
And you like your Chinese chicken curry?
Special fried rice.
Question for you, because obviously my phone is an Android, so when I've put in...
Wow. That sounds loads more impressive than it is.
When I've put in our accounts and stuff, like the Redmen TV's Gmail account and all that type of stuff, I've picked up your contact list based on the Redmen TV. So the first like day I got your phone, I rang your mum, because it's just called mum in my phone.
Amazing.
Right? So I had to change that to like Annette and stuff like that. And one of the things that I noticed that you've got on here is two contacts for the Dovecot fish and chip shop.
This is the same.
And they're exactly the same. I've always wanted to ask you, how often do you use them? That you've got them saved.
No, here's the thing. I use them so often that it's a massive confusion when they both come up when I type Harry's in. Because I think one's called Harry's Dovecot and one's called Harry's Fish Bar Dovecot, I think.
Is that what it is? It's the H, is it? I couldn't find it when I looked at Dovecot then.
I think so. Let me see if I can find it.
Harry's Fish Bar and Harry's Fish Bar Dovecot.
Yeah,
they are both the same number though.
Yeah, they are. It's one of those things. This doesn't
seem that confusing.
Well, Harry's Fish Bar. No, it's true. Well, you can. But that's the point. Is that there's effectively two answers for the same question. But this is the problem with modern mobile phones and linking things to email accounts is that I have got a bazillion contacts on my phone of all kinds of origins and weirdness and all that kind of stuff where things have combined and things have separated. So that's probably what's probably happened is that's over two phones where I've put it into one phone that didn't have it and then I've updated it and then it's come back. Yeah,
is it a good fish and chip shop? Is it worth giving them a call?
Harry's is amazing.
Yeah, next time I'm thinking about it, I'll get it up.
It's not too far out your way either, is it, to be fair, down to ours? Like, so
no, that's fine. Is it the one that's on the corner?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a decent fish and chip shop.
By the post office.
Yeah.
Tremendous, yeah. Special fried rice.
The number twice.
Special fried rice, no prawns.
Yeah, obviously. I'm exactly the same in my Singapore vermicelli.
And
you just can't trust the Chinese.
Sweet and sour sauce.
Fish and chip shop to keep prawns fresh.
That was a clever addition of words there, Chris, because you basically just said you can't trust an entire country.
That's
of people.
Not at all what I meant.
You can't trust the Chinese fish and chip shop on the corner of ours there. Yeah, absolutely. You can't trust the Indian takeaway on ours. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, Harry's is top quality. And what's funny is that it just because he is as a kid, the son of the kids of the owner there both go to Blue Coat.
Right.
So they're now the kids who
same
work in the local
tribute. Paul.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The kids who work there are now being taught by people that we went to school with and the school that we went to.
Madness.
She's just dead. Makes us dead old. Anyway, we'll wrap that up. Thanks very much, everyone who's listening. For those of you stuck through.
And apologies to your mum for ringing her because, you know, she's my phone is mum.
She loves it really. Like. I feel like I need to ring Brenda now just to make sure she doesn't feel left out.
Yeah, if you want, it's fine. It's you know the number.
It's all right. Boss, thanks very much for listening. Thanks very much for watching. If you want more podcasts, we do 5 podcasts a week on the redmentv.com. It's Amelia, cough away. It's £5 a month. You get all that stuff. You get a whole host of extra video content, interviews, etc. There's an interview I did with Stephen Gerrard on there a week or two ago at BT Sport HQ where he talks about what he's going to be doing. It was good. It was very interesting. And it was a bit of the private life of Stephen Gerrard and stuff that you won't get anywhere else. So that was really good. So, yes, thanks for listening. More Red Men podcasty goodness coming your way with the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show in a week's time because there's no match this weekend. But that's always there.
You just roll with your normal outro, did you?
Thanks for listening. No,
hello, it's comments below.
Indeed. Thanks for listening. Walker.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.